The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Bill Buckmaster Show on KVOI AM 1030. My name is Jim Kelly. I am hosting for the vacationing Bill Buckmaster, who has been up in Oregon checking out the Multnomah Falls. Look for Bill Buckmaster on Facebook and check out some of the great pictures that he's gotten on his vacation. This portion of the Bill Buckmaster Show is presented by Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle. Mona's is located on the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Owners Steve and Sherry do a lovely job with European baked goods, breads, pastries, cakes, brownies. They're open for lunch right now. Mona's Danish Bakery, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Go to buckmastershow.com for a link to Mona's Danish Bakery. With me in studio today is somebody that for a long time I didn't know him, but he was my opposite number in the Democratic Party, doing communications for candidates, for issues, at the same time I was doing it as well. His name is Blake Morlock, and welcome, Blake.
Thank you, Jim. Thanks for having me.
Blake, you're presently a columnist and an editor, a contributing editor, to the Tucson Sentinel. Is that
correct? That is correct. And before that, I was political writer for the Tucson Citizen. Rest in peace.
Rest in peace, Tucson Citizen. I miss an afternoon newspaper. I really do. It's a shame. I wish our market could have supported two newspapers. But
me too.
Blake is. We are in an incredible time for politics. I think that in the age of Trump, there's nothing that should be surprising us. Did you see the debate between Kristen Sinema and Martha McSally?
A couple of times. Yeah, I watched it once, and then I had to go back and get quotes for a column that I wrote about it. So yeah, I watched it, and it was funny because the first time I watched it, I thought, wow, McSally looked really strong. Sinema looked kind of robotic. But the second time I watched it, I kind of saw Sinema really being controlled, disciplined, smooth, and taking the fight to McSally, who was really...
You described her as a Gatling gun
She went in with all guns blazing, and she was clearly... she was clearly frustrated with Sinema Sinema's demeanor seemed to bug McSally. So what we saw, what we were just saying, Jim, was that if you listen to it on the radio, I can see people thinking, you know what, I think Sinema won that because she kind of controlled the flow of the debate. She was really disciplined. But if you saw it on television, I think McSally's humanity kind of came across, that exasperation, that just she was more relatable in some ways. So,
well,
I think that, but
I've known her for a while, and I got to tell you, I think she's very authentic.
Oh, that's
in her communication.
That was absolutely.
She doesn't
her.
Hold a whole lot back.
No,
and I think what you hear from her is what you get. I've never seen her flip flop. Never seen her deviate from what she has said previously, and she will explain a vote. She will, even if it's an explanation that maybe the base doesn't like or somebody on the other side doesn't like, she will at least explain her vote. For instance, what was the big issue was about healthcare, right?
Mm-hmm.
And about Martha's so-called flip-flop on healthcare. Reality, two different bills, one that was going to go nowhere in the Senate.
Yeah.
Goes back to caucus, tries to recreate another bill. At the second time that they went back to caucus, the Democrats don't even want to show up for caucus. So, and this
well,
is their
problem
solvers caucus. Well,
they were locked out. Let's be clear about what happened. Republicans decided to do that in the back room without inviting Democrats in, and then They were, and then they said, this is your bill, take it or leave it. They did, this was not an,
the first
a regular order process. Well, that no, because that's why McCain killed it, because it wasn't regular order. You wanted to go back and do it, offer amendments, hold committee hearings, you know, like Schoolhouse Rock version of how a bill becomes
law. So I've got it backwards. The first one was killed in the Senate. The second one was never going to go anywhere. Is that basically?
No, well, no. The second one was the one that McCain gave the thumbs down on, and that was the one that wasn't going to go anywhere. The first one, the first one, they never had the vote. I don't think they had the votes to get it out of the House. It's so amazing because people like you and I, we live this stuff,
right?
But in the age of Trump, that seems like 100 years ago,
right? Exactly.
You know? And it was just last year, but yeah, I mean, cinema has there are two things I wanted to say. One is that I've dealt with cinema. That's cinema too. She's very smooth. She's
this is version 2.0.
Well,
version 2.018.
Yeah. That's how she's been since I've known her. Second is. And I didn't have that many interactions with her, basically conference calls and a couple of interviews. But that's been her since I've known her as a reporter and an activist. But the other thing was the healthcare the thing. Yeah, you're right. Martha McSally voted for a bill that was not supposed to be the final bill.
Right.
And then the Senate screwed her.
Well, now let's go back and take a look at cinema. So cinema, since. Let's say her recorded political time started in about 2003.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We're now up to about 2016 before she runs the first time for Congress, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is a woman that trained elevator screamers for Women in Black, Code Pink, and every lefty group that you could possibly think of, including members of the Communist Party. So what changed for Miss Sinema from 2003 to 2016? Who sat her down at just before the debate and said, whatever you do, don't look like an elevator screamer?
Well, elevator screamer, mall screamer, I guess depending on whether or not you're Tea Party, you know, town hall screamer. If you're Tea Party, it's screamers, it's mobs. But if you're Tea Party in 2009, it's the majestic voice of the Democratic people. I think that's all the sound of freedom, personally. Sinema in about 2009, started to move. Now, her version of it is that she started to realize being a dyed-in-the-wool left-wing Green Party / Democratic
Elevator
Socialist.
Elevator screaming trainer.
Well, she wasn't. The elevator screaming happened recently.
But she trained them.
The women in black.
There was the women in black that were there at the mall. It was the women in black that were at Kavanaugh hearing.
To oppose the war, which you cannot find a Republican who today's ever admitted to supporting. But I digress.
And who John McCain called scum of the earth, by the way. Raul Grijalva wrote travel visas for them so they could go protest in Iraq during the war. These are all people that she has been associated with.
Oh, absolutely. She has been associated with the most liberal side of the Democratic Party.
So she grew
but
up.
Then
she started growing up.
So either
and
one,
realizing
she
that
grew
she
up,
was wrong.
She
what
grew
does that
up,
tell you about the other side?
Well, it. What do you mean? What does that tell you about the other side?
If Kristen Sinema is sitting there saying, "Oh, I grew up. I learned my lessons," but you know, did she or is she just covering?
The other theory is that she started to say, you know what, I want higher office. I want higher office in a red state, and I can't support these. Now, this is the cinema version.
I can't do the red meat values. State.
I can't run a Louis Gohmert campaign it'd be like Louis Gohmert running that campaign in New York City. It isn't going to work. All right. The belief was you have to run more to the center. You have to look for ways to vote Republican. And that's when the shift started. Or, you know, I can tell you as you get deeper into politics, I know this happens to reporters all the time. You might start off believing you're way off over here. But then as you learn more, you can evolve and change. So without knowing her that, you know, personally that well, I don't know. I'll let the voters decide what she did.
Let me ask you, do you think she is a true reflection of the values? This is a values-based campaign at this point between Sinema and McSally. The values of, you know, the warrior statesman that Martha McSally already is, mm-hmm. To the progressive values of the Democratic Party today in Arizona. So do you think Sinema is a true reflection of the values of the whole state, not just Flagstaff, not just Tempe, and not just the blue oasis of Pima County?
I can probably tell you that she has poll numbers to say she is.
and I've got poll numbers that have Martha up seven points. Have you ever been to Silver City, Mexico, New Mexico?
I have not been to Silver City, New Mexico.
Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico is a really interesting place. They're 3 hours from Tucson. There's a heck of a lot to do in Silver City and Grant County. Exploring historic downtown Silver City or visiting the world famous Cliff Dwellings National Monument. If you want a complete listing of the many things to do and great places to stay, visit southwestnewmexico.org.
In case you haven't heard, a recent state performance audit says the Regional Transportation Authority is meeting performance and budget expectations on voter-approved RTA plan delivery. Now in its 12th year of plan implementation, the RTA is committed to delivering the remaining projects with the community's support to improve our regional transportation system. Working together for a better future, visit rtamobility.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. I'm passionate about travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. And when I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport with 9 airlines flying nonstop to 22 destinations and easy one-stop connections. I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient with competitive airfares, and there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Travel smart and fly Tucson. Check out flytucson.com. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Hi, it's Suzanne Miller from your Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona, here to remind you to start with trust and look for the BBB accredited seal when searching for a product or service. Did you know you can request a quote directly from any of our accredited businesses? With over 3,000 accredited businesses in Southern Arizona, you will find a business you can trust. Whether you need a product or service from one company or an entire industry, go to tucson.bbb.org and start your search today.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. This is Bill Buckmaster. The Buckmaster Show features Arizona newsmakers and more than two dozen Buckmaster Show contributors. Everything from foreign affairs to the arts is on the table and open for discussion and your calls from one end of Southern Arizona to the other. The Buckmaster Show, weekdays live during the noon hour on AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's voice.
Good afternoon and welcome back to the Bill Buckmaster Show. My name is Jim Kelly, filling in for Bill while he is vacationing up in the northwest of the United States. To my right is my guest, Blake Morlock, and we've been talking politics. Blake was my opposite number in this political Cold War that we've been having for quite a few years. If you want to get on the conversation, phone number is 520-790-2040, 520-790-2040. Blake, we talked about the cinema McSally debate. Let's talk about Leah Marquez Peterson and Ann Kirkpatrick. What did you think of that debate?
I had to wake up a couple of times during it. It was, I don't think it was that informative, but, you know, that was sort of the, I would have liked to, I thought the format was a little constricting.
Do you think you got a good feel and gist for who Leah is, and do you have a good feel and gist for who Ann is, based on that debate? We did with the Cinema McSally.
Yeah, I didn't, not really. I mean, I kind of get where, where they both are is, I can think where a lot of candidates are right now, especially on the Republican side, where the question is, what is Trump, with the Republicans wondering what Trump means to me. And the question is Trump helping me? Is he hurting me?
Right.
And I don't know that Republicans are always able to answer that question based on, frankly, especially long-term. You want to talk about certainty. Just, what's the latest tweet? What's the latest outrage?
Hold that thought for just a second. Chuck is on the line. Chuck, how can we help you today?
Hi, Mr. Kelly. Yeah, I've got a question about local politics.
Okay.
I heard that the Board of Supervisors last night passed a resolution in support of the Paris Climate, whatever they call it, Board.
Yeah, it was a 3-2 vote, yeah.
Okay. And they've already made arrangements to set aside some money to support this in remodeling some buildings and to get some more open space and who knows what else. Have they gone absolutely nuts?
Well, I'll tell you.
This is crazy. This is crazy.
I'm going to give you my thoughts on this, and then Blake's going to give you his from the other side. My thoughts on this are twofold. One, Pima County really doesn't have any business, sitting down and saying, "Oh, we're going to go with the Paris Climate Accords that the United States has already pulled out of." But on the other side of the coin is, if Pima County wants to save money, use renewable energies, redesign or redevelop some old buildings that can use solar or wind or whatever in a renewable way, I have no problem with that. But like I said, what it comes down to is their foundation of the vote was about the Paris Climate Accords that the United States government isn't even a part of. Pima County government does not negotiate treaties with other countries. That's my thing, and so it's none of their darn business. But but the other side of the coin is, hey, if they do something good for our buildings, and they do something good for upgrading our buildings to renewable energy, I've got no problem with that. Blake, what do you think?
Are you sure Chuck Huckleberry doesn't negotiate treaties on behalf of the United States? I'm just saying. I'm not so sure he's not part of some. Look, this is nothing new. It sounds like what they basically did was slap Paris Climate Accord on stuff that they do anyway, which is.
Which is just a shout out to the liberal.
Yeah, which is. And the Paris Climate Accords weren't were largely voluntary anyway. They were just, this is what we agreed to do to fight climate change. So it wasn't anything, and reserve the right to not do it. It was just kind of a, So they've done LEED Green, LEED Silver buildings, which are very environmentally, or LEED Green, LEED Gold, I think. Was it LEED Gold, LEED Silver? They've been doing what Jim said, designing environmentally friendly buildings. They've been buying open space for,
This is an conservation plan is all part of that.
Yeah, I mean, and I think they just rebranded it as Paris Climate Accord, but people can call and tell me I'm wrong.
So does that answer your question, Chuck? Oh, Chuck's gone. Okay. All right, let's get back to, again, first off, obviously, you're on the other side, so you think that, the values of Arizona are being reflected in the Sinema McSally campaign, and you think Sinema reflects them. But let's get back down to CD2, which is as purple as you're going to get.
Yeah.
Okay. The Democrats have about a 2,000 voter registration, I think it's like 3,000 voter registration advantage in CD2. The Democrats.
It's like R plus one but, Cook.
Right. But so it's the, really the party not designated in Pima County can kind of sway that. So basically, what we're looking for is every Democrat would have to get out and vote for Ann Kirkpatrick to win. If every Democrat voted and every Republican voted, Ann would win.
Mm-hmm.
But because of the party not designated, those are the swing votes. So what we're looking at is between 4,000 and 5,000 votes that Ann needs from the independents, and the 4,000 to 5,000 votes that Leah's going to need from the independents. Who do you think is, again, taking a look at Leah's debate performance and Ann Kirkpatrick's debate performance? Who do you think the independents are most likely to swing?
I think this is exactly what our president wants it to be. It's going to be a referendum on Donald Trump. And I think it could be you and me. We could substitute our names in there tomorrow. You'd have the same result.
That's a fair answer.
I expect that actually McSally should have the advantage in statewide. I would be surprised if Kirkpatrick lost. I would be surprised if Kirkpatrick lost just because.
But don't you think the people of Pima County and Cochise County are sitting there saying, "What's Trump done for me?" Don't you think that was your question, right?
No.
What's Trump done for me?
No. Well, I think it's debatable.
Or how do I feel about Trump?
How do I feel about Trump? And I think it's debatable about whether or not this economic upturn is helping a broad swath of people.
Well, I will
like
tell you one
has,
thing. Leah Marquez Peterson was actually here in Tucson building businesses long before Trump ever got here, before Trump was president.
This is not a commentary on Ann Kirkpatrick's long-term viability in that seat. This is this year, right now. I think people are going to vote to just put a check on Donald Trump with virtually no assist from the Democrats saying, you need to put a check on Donald Trump.
That hasn't been their messaging, has it?
Their
message hasn't been an anti-Trump message. It hasn't been, Trump's bad. Their messaging has been,
put a check on him.
No, but wait a minute. What are their issues have been?
Healthcare,
which is Medicaid for all, is basically what the Democrats, the progressive side of
Medicare.
The Democrats, are trying to, Medicaid.
Medicare would become then a not just senior program, but Medicaid is access, which is paid for out of property taxes, which is a completely different system, administered statewide than Medicare. So let's be, you can use the quotes around Medicaid, but go ahead.
All right, so I'll stand corrected on this at the moment. So Medicare for all right, that's number one. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Planned Parenthood, Roe v. Wade, that's number two.
Yeah.
What's number three? Guns, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Take your pick. Yeah.
I've got a few things I could give to the Democratic Party, a couple of secrets I could get to. If the Democratic Party for the next 4 years never said a word about guns, it would break the NRA because nobody would donate to the NRA.
Every Obama time a never said a word about their, guns for his first term, and their membership shot their, through the roof.
Every time a Democrat opens their mouth about guns, Republicans go buy more ammo.
Okay, I could. I have a great retort for that, but you
got
to do something.
All right, we've got Green Things is a great little place up on River Road by Brandy Finn Park. It has Zocalo Fine Mexican Imports now on the 13-acre Green Things site. River Road, just west of Brandy Finn Park, with all the merchandise from Mexico and Latin America, the Zocalo. But also check out the wonderful plants. Check out Green Things for all your gardening needs on the web, greenthingsaz.com.
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year, and if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Welcome back to the Bill Buckmaster Show on KBOI 1030 AM. If you'd like to get in on this conversation between Blake Morlock and myself, Jim Kelly, who is guest hosting today for the vacationing Bill Buckmaster, if you want to know what's going on with Bill, go to Bill Buckmaster on Facebook, and he's got fantastic pictures of his vacation going on. All right, Blake, Let's get to the local stuff and some of the propositions. First off, Proposition 125 is basically about reorganizing the pension funds of first responders. It looked like it was a pretty bipartisan
thing. That's corrections officers.
Corrections officers, excuse me. It looked like it was a pretty bipartisan thing that came out of the state legislature. I've read nothing but good about it. I think one guy is ticked off because his pension might change a little bit for whatever reason.
They've had to redo a lot of the pensions because there was a constitutional amendment that was passed previously, and any rejiggering of the pension plan requires a change of the constitutional amendment, which requires voter approval. Yeah.
I voted yes.
Yeah.
All right. 126. Doug Ducey came out yesterday and said, no, it's a bad thing. He does not want, you know, constitutional changes that are mandating the budget for the state of Arizona. He thinks that that's the governor's job and the state legislature's job. Yeah, the sales tax. This is where, you know, they're trying to prohibit sales tax on certain services. But there are other services that there are still going to be sales taxes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. This is a good old-fashioned thing where if you're a conservative, you shouldn't like government picking winners and losers. And
there you go. Yeah. 127.
This is where
the energy initiative.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Tom Steyer's
billions.
Yeah,
the liberal progressive in me is supposed to go jumping up and down screaming, we need it, we need it, we need it. But the truth is that solar is happening anyway. Solar's happened. There's already been enough early subsidies into solar that it's coming.
I don't know the 50%. Constitutional amendment.
Yeah, I don't. Constitutional amendments are, my bigger problem with it is that it was written somewhere without a public hearing, without really input about the pros and cons of it, and they seem to have a kind of arbitrarily set the number at 50%.
All right, we got agreement there. No on 127. 306. 306 is basically saying candidates can no longer give their war chest that they get from the Clean Elections Commission to a party or a PAC. They have to use it for their own campaign. Good idea or a bad idea? And by the way, this is going to be part of the constitution of the state.
Yeah, I don't like this because you just don't get enough clean elections money in order to get your message out there. You have to kind of bundle. And frankly, I worked for the Democratic Party, so I probably got some paychecks because of this, you know, because of something like this. I don't really have a problem with it. Also, what happens if you are unopposed and you don't spend any money and you have this, you know, you're supposed to give it to just anything that's not a problem. You can give your money to somebody. So if you're not opposed, party building, I don't mind. I'm okay with this one.
Yeah, well, a lot of people think that taxpayer money shouldn't be supporting either Republican or Democratic
parties. Well, a lot of people think it shouldn't be supporting elections.
In that manner.
But if you're going to have publicly subsidized elections.
I've seen Republicans do this, and I've seen really bad candidates just run for clean elections money. Just go out there and just try to get $5.
Well, that's a whole nother.
And get clean elections money.
We could do a whole show on clean elections.
No chance in any way of getting elected in that particular legislative district. But
or no business being elected. I think
or
we've
no business
seen
being
that
elected. Republican
sides.
And on both
yeah,
sides.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah. I've seen. I think we've seen.
So that. I say no on 306.
I say yes on 306.
All right, let's go to the county bonds for the roads. Yes or no?
Sure.
Absolutely. I'm in agreement with it on you. That it's got to get done. This is the way to do it. Everybody can yell and scream about the fat and the pork and this and that. And Chuck Huckleberry's a pretty smart guy. And he knows how to move money around. I have no problem with this road bond because it's only one and it's very specific. And the one thing I like about bonds, they are very auditable. In other words, you can follow the money six ways to Sunday on a bond much better than you can with just sales tax. The next one is parks and recreation expansion and kind of interlinking the park system in Tucson. Good or bad?
I honestly, I don't know as much about it as I should. So I'll.
I got annexed into the city last year, back last November.
Is this integrating the park, the county and city park system?
No. It's just the parks, the parks themselves, upgrading them and interlocking them and interlinking them. I'm voting yes.
Greenways, yeah, fine.
First election I have that I have any say in the city council of Tucson or anything the city of Tucson for a long, long time because I've always lived outside of the county.
And you get to say, and you're saying yes
and
to
I
the
got,
city?
And I got annexed in, and I'm saying yes to the city on this one.
If Jim is in favor of it, then I'm all for it.
All right. The last one is the city charter change. We're talking about changing the charter of the city of Tucson to extend our city council and mayor 1 year, and so that they're all going to run together now instead of separately. Is this my understanding of it?
Yeah.
Okay. I've got no problem with this. I think it's a step forward because eventually I want to get down to ward only elections. But at this point, I think it's a good change.
For a bunch of people who are scared of the mob, having everybody exposed to the single passions of a single election, I have some problems with. But on the other hand, if you want to throw all the bums out at once, you can throw the all bums out at once. That'd probably be a flip of a coin to me, but I don't.
I will say this: the chances of charter change are very, very limited. Every time a charter change proposition comes up, it almost always gets voted down, doesn't it?
No, some of it gets.
What was the last charter change to the city of Tucson that you remember
one,
that the
oh
people
God.
Voted for? It's been a long time.
Wasn't the one for?
I can't remember one.
But you know what? I think when
they've
when
always
voters,
they always get voted down.
There is a really good voter instinct, which is when you don't understand something,
say no. Right.
That is a great instinct because at the very least you're doing no harm. Also, I'd like to see. But if we're going to do charter changes, let's do some real charter changes.
Yeah,
you know
ward-only
I mean?
Elections.
Yeah, let's be a little ballsier than where they are now. Excuse my language.
Can you say that on the radio? Is that all right? Oh, okay. Higgins and DeSimone get away with it? Oh, okay. All right. So let's take a look at some other local stuff. We've got some legislative district races going on. We've got Chris Ackerley running down Legislative District 2, which literally runs from 22nd Street in Tucson all the way to Nogales.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And it's 2-1. He actually made it one time. He's on his way back. What do you think of Chris Ackerley? Do you think he was a good legislator for the district when he was? And he was a Republican, but you know, don't you think he was effective?
You know,
got some stuff up there.
There's a school of thought that says what every district might want to think. If we're not going to change the legislature, you want some Republicans in Tucson. Okay, you want some Republicans from Tucson to be out there or to go up to Phoenix and have some power because being a Democrat in the legislature is...
I hear stories about the Democrats from down here. I think Steve Farley, maybe Bradley, has actually been able to get things out of committee and onto a floor vote.
Being a Democrat from the south of
Democrat,
the Gila...
Yeah, being a Democrat from south of the Gila... I hear that they literally just don't even bother to show up except to vote because they know their voice isn't going to be heard in committee. They know that anything that they throw into the committee, they're either going to have to get a Republican sponsor to get it out of committee and to the House before they can even think about getting it to the governor's
desk. And that's the other thing is that if you are a Republican representing a district, I remember Jennifer Burns gave me one of the best answers to a question once was, I used to ask, what gets you up in the morning? And she said, I'm in a Democratic district, but they voted for me. So they voted for me specifically.
Right.
So I better not let them down. And I just thought, and this is years ago, but I just thought that was one of the best answers I ever got to a question. So I think Republicans representing Democratic districts,
tonight's Congressional District 3 debate between the present congressman, member of Congress, Raul Grijalva, and the Republican challenger, Nick Pearson. Are you going to watch?
Depends if I have to or not.
It's your homework, Blake.
Yeah.
It's your homework.
I have a feeling. Call me crazy. I think Raul's going to win this one.
Raul's not going to win the debate. He'll just win the race.
I think he's probably, yeah.
This portion of the Buckmaster Show is presented by Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle. Mona's is located on the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Owners Steve and Sherry do a terrific job with their European baked goods, their breads, their pastries, their cakes, and the luscious brownies. They're open for lunch right now. Mona's Danish Bakery, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Go to buckmastershow.com for a link to Mona's Danish Bakery.
The Regional Transportation Authority funds projects to help make our transportation system safe, reliable, and efficient. Improve regional mobility is important for economic vitality for businesses and families. The RTA continues to finance construction work for 6 new roadway projects scheduled in 2018. For more information on RTA projects, visit rtamobility.com. The RTA is delivering its promise to you. This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Travel smart and fly Tucson. Check out flytucson.com. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine in a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Hey, it's Matt Russell from the Buckmaster Show.
And this is Ryan Hansen from Bon Voyage Travel.
I am so pumped to be partnering with Bon Voyage on my next culinary and cocktail cruise.
This is definitely a cruise for foodies as you experience the Mediterranean on Celebrity Cruises.
And the private excursions that your team has arranged for us? I mean, come on, an ouzo distillery tour in Greece? A food and wine day on Malta?
We'll handle everything, so all you and your guests need to do is eat, drink, and be happy.
Go to bvtravel.com/Matt Russell to learn more.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. My name is Jim Kelly, guest hosting for the vacationing Bill Buckmaster. One of the things I like to do when anybody ever lets me take over the microphone of their show is I like to get some businesses from the South Side that are near and dear to my heart and close to home. And today I have the proprietor of the 420 Taco Company, located at 5801 South Palo Verde, co-located with the Dive, right?
That's right.
This is Willie Alejandro.
That's right.
Willie, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you, Jim.
Now, Willie, are you from Tucson originally?
I am not. I'm from Southern California. Grew up in El Monte and Covina. Graduated in Covina and moved out here in 2001.
Wow, that's when I came back out, after I'd been wandering all over the
world. So this is home. I've been here, you know, a good 18 years. This is home.
Outstanding. And your partner Linda Duran,
that's right,
is helping, or is not helping. She's integral to what's going on in the kitchen on a regular basis.
Absolutely, we started this thing together. I think it was my love of cooking and her knowledge of cooking is what made this so great, and we just love bringing people together through food, connecting people through food, and so that's how it started.
Well, I've obviously been having lunch there on a regular basis for since you started in May.
That's right,
and the food's fantastic. You smoke your meat, right?
That's right. We smoke everything.
You smoke everything.
We smoke all our meats. You know, burgers, the wings. You know, you name it. We're going to put it in the smoker and give it some flavor.
Tell me, I've got to tell you, I've had a couple of things that are my favorites. One of my favorites is the El Mariachi.
Yeah,
tell us about the El Mariachi. What's on that?
The El Mariachi is one of our top sellers. It's a beef. I throw some chuck in the smoker. We smoke it for a good, 10 hours or so until it's real nice and tender. It's a simple sandwich on a birote bun, lettuce, tomato, and avocado, and a little bit of green chili crema that we make there at the dive.
Outstanding. Now, this is sort of your take on the torta.
It's kind of a souped-up torta, if you will.
And you can put anything on it, the El Mariachi is obviously the cubed beef, right?
We got a pork. We use pork in another sandwich. We do pork belly. We like to do, let's see, what else? We do chicken. We'll do some shredded chicken. Actually, I'm going to do turkeys coming up here for Thanksgiving. So we'll throw those in the smoker, too, get those going.
Tell me some of the challenges of being a small businessman, trying to get started. You were looking for a kitchen, basically, and you co-located with an existing business.
That's right. Linda and I, our goal was to start a food truck, and in order to have that, we needed a commercial commissary, which landed us at the dive. So we kind of got split focus right now. Between the dive and the food truck, still trying to get that off the ground.
If anybody doesn't remember, the dive has that particular building has been there for years. It was one of the original famous Sam's here in Tucson, years and years and years ago. So that, and it's kind of sort of a staple to the neighborhood and to the people who travel back and forth on South Palo Verde.
Sure, we like it. It was
you're just north of Valencia and you're south of Drexel, right?
That's right. It's on Milton, the corner of Milton and Palo Verde. It's always been there. I know when I used to work down by the airport, it was one of the places I used to go for lunch back when it was, I believe it was the Palo Verde Bar and Grill at that time. But I enjoy that spot. It's a good place to eat lunch, and I'm just glad I could be a part of it.
Good. So what have been some of the challenges of getting the business started? Permits, anything.
Lack of staff at this point. Just the lack of help. And it's been Linda and myself doing most of the work, if not all the work. We do take a day or two to ourselves, or to get work for the business and not so much in the business. We do have a couple people that we do have on staff to keep the kitchen open. But the permits. It's an old building, so having a smoker. We started it outside. So getting that building up to code to where we could cook outside was a challenge, things like that. It's just a work in progress.
As you know, there was an article in the Star the other day that Pima County Health Department is really stepping up their enforcement. Saw restaurants that have been staples in Tucson that are getting violated and shut down. How have they been with you guys? Or do they work with you, number one, and say, hey, you need this, and this, and will they work with you so that you can keep going?
I was surprised, I guess. I've been pleased with the health inspector that has come out. We've got a good rating now. I was proud of that. I guess it was the best rating that place has had since it opened up. So we were proud of that. They've actually been really good with us. She comes in, the health inspector herself, I believe her name is Mary. She does a great job. She's really, like I said, I was surprised. I was dreading the fact that the day that the health inspector came in, but no, we did a good job, and I was proud of that.
If there is one thing that could help your business, which is, like I said, it's a small business, that particular location, that building has been there for many, many, many years. What do you think would help that could be done at a political level or even at the local political level that would help you guys with traffic and things like that? Because there's not a lot of restaurants. I mean, I think you're the only one between Valencia and what? Irvington?
Yeah, there's not a whole lot down that street. other than the fast food restaurants. We have Cattle Town down the road. I mean, we'd like to compete with, you know, for dinner. We just haven't had the, I guess, the interest to, for families to come out to dinner. But we have had the, we're targeted families on Sundays. We do serve menudo on Sundays down at the dive bar. The place is called the Dive Bar and Kitchen.
You were serving some brunch last Sunday or the Sunday before last?
Absolutely, we served.
And I thought your brunch was fantastic. Your pancakes were unique. Your food was unique. It wasn't just
right. We'd like to
generic.
We'd like to think our flavors are unique. We do serve the pancakes he's referring to. It was a different take on instead of chicken and waffles, we threw some pork belly on top of pancakes, threw a couple eggs on top of it, smothered it with some syrup, and those came out really good. But yeah, we do. We serve breakfast all day. Our menu is open all day. Anything you'd like on it. We do make some other things that we don't have on the menu. We do have specials. Like I said, we do some soups. Menudo on Sundays. We have that throughout the week as well. So yeah, you're right. We do like to throw our unique flavors in all this food. So
hey, if you guys want lunch, you're anywhere near Valencia, between Valencia and Drexel on Palo Verde, go to the 420 Taco Company. You're wanting to do a truck, right?
Right. We have the truck. We're trying to get that off the ground, and that's where the name come from originally. The name 420 Taco was for the truck. And our tagline was, we smoke everything. We think that Tucson's ready for that. The market's here. And yeah, that's what that was the idea behind it. And we landed ourselves at the Dive Bar and Kitchen.
So eventually, though, you hope to have the truck up. Yeah, I'm assuming that you're looking more towards a hipster college, you know, guys coming out of the clubs at night saying, hey,
sure,
I want some good food, not just, $2 for $0.99 tacos at Jack in the Box or something.
Absolutely not. Yeah. They're definitely not the $2 for $0.99 tacos. I think they're delicious.
Fantastic tacos.
The meat itself is great. We've been doing a lot of catering, which has been,
Your bread and butter for
right until we get the truck. That's right. It's been our bread and butter to catering for businesses all around the dive bar. So that's been a lot of fun. It's been keeping us busy and afloat for that matter. So that's good.
Outstanding. We've got a little bit more time. Okay. Thank you, Ray. Sorry, I'm talking to the producer, Ray, and he's showing me and giving me hand signals. Sometimes when I'm not here on a regular basis, I kind of let things go and I forget what the hand signals mean and all that good stuff. Let me ask you a question, Jay. You know, one of the things I'm working on and I'm a big advocate for is roads. And we want to get Palo Verde done. We want to get it from Valencia all the way to Irvington. We want to get this road repaved. Do you think that would help the businesses in not just along Palo Verde, but along Benson Highway, all the stuff that's going on?
There's
a lot of new stuff going on down there.
There is, and it's exciting. The roads would help. I do believe they would help. That road has been pretty bad for quite some time, if I recall.
What amazes me is that not only are there a lot of regular businesses, I mean, auto shops, body shops, the normal kinds of light industry that you see going on the south side, but there's huge office buildings.
Absolutely.
But there's
there
no place for them to go unless they want fast food. There's no real sit down restaurants.
Right. And we're, I guess, trying to become that. There's a lot of stigma, I guess, about going to a bar for lunch, so to speak, maybe. I don't know if that's...
Well, maybe we'll get Frank to change the name.
Maybe so.
Let's hope so.
Yeah, we've talked about that.
Montoya's Family Restaurant and Cantina. What do you think?
Yeah, something like that.
There you go.
Good old Frank with Montano, right?
Montano, yeah. Montano. Right. You know, it's Tiffany who's Montoya, right?
That's right.
Right.
That's right.
That they are good friends of ours, and they just had a baby, and they're really working their heinies
they
off.
They are. He works a lot of hard. Yeah. Him and I, Frank and I, have a good partnership, we do work hard. So it's good to see you in there every now and then, Jim.
Well, I like the food, man. You know that.
I do.
I come in for lunch or I come in for dinner.
Jim's got a specialty burger I make for him. He likes to call it the launch pad.
Yeah, the launch pad. Tell them what's on the launch pad.
The launch pad, Jim designed it. We had a contest not too long ago, and Jim submitted it. He designed a burger with chipotle mayo, fried tomatoes, and
grilled onions.
And grilled onions.
And pork belly.
Yeah. And that's, yeah. And yeah. It came out pretty good. Every time I make it for him, I want to make myself one. So you guys got to come out and try it.
420 Taco at the Dive, 5801 South Palo Verde. New business, getting off the ground. They've been in business since May. If you want great food, you got to stop in and give it a try. Bill Buckmaster, thank you so very much for giving me the opportunity to host your show again. I love it. Get home soon. Get home safely. Give my best to Ann and enjoy the Northwest.